Merry Christmas. Isn't Tom looking good right now? I love that Christmas time when he lets that thing grow out. Right. And he does this automatic for us. He puts on 50 pounds. Then January has taken off again. But this man's committed. I was in the office. Yesterday, I went in the office and a guy walks in and was complaining to the manager. He said, "It's not fair." I said, "Well, what's not fair?" "Christmas falls on a Tuesday this year. My day off is Tuesday. So I think I should get an extra day off." The manager says, "Well, wait a minute. My day off is Thursday. And I missed Thanksgiving, but I didn't get an extra day." He said, "Well, it's just not fair. I should get an extra day." He says, "Wait a minute. Do you celebrate Christmas?" "Well, no. Aren't you a Muslim?" He says, "Well, yeah." He says, "You want an extra day for what then?" And so, anyway, we were walking out of the office together, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he says, "Tom, you do know I do believe in Jesus." I said, "Well, that's good, but what do you believe about Jesus?" Well, that caught him a little off guard because he didn't want to really tell what he believed about Jesus. Because it's easy to say, "I believe in Jesus." It's much more difficult to say, "Well, what exactly do you believe about Jesus?" Now, all of a sudden, now it takes on some significant meaning. Is Jesus truly the Son of God? Is Jesus truly deity? Is Jesus truly the coming Savior? Is Jesus truly coming King? Is he truly the coming priest? Is Jesus those things? Now all of a sudden it becomes more difficult to answer the question because anybody can say, "I believe in Jesus." But what is it? So in light of even David's comment just a moment ago, I'm going to shift gears slightly for the month of December, because I want to talk about Jesus is God. Jesus is the coming King. Jesus is the great high priest, Savior, and Jesus is the Son of Man for the next 4 weeks. So I'm going to switch a little bit. I know what happens when I do that. We'll come back to Romans. You'll forget absolutely everything I taught. So we'll start all over again. Amen, yes. So that's where we are today. And I was reading through some passages of Scripture, and I'll pull out a number of these things. And what I wanted to do, I have made comment about this. I don't know that I've ever elaborated on it, but I want you to take your Bibles and start in Genesis. Okay? That's the first book of the Bible, all right? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is the account of the fall. And we use the word the fall to describe mankind plunged into sin. You know the story about the serpent. You know the story about Eve and Adam eating the banana or the apple or the grapefruit or kumquat or whatever it was. And so they eat, and it says in verse 7, their eyes are open. They realize they're in trouble. And they heard God coming. And so God calls them, talks about their fate, and because they've done this, that they're going to be punished as a result of this, that the world is going to be cursed and placed under a curse, and that there's ramifications of that curse. And so in verse 22, God says, rather than let them eat of the tree of life, we're going to throw them out of the Garden of Eden. So they've done that in verse 23. And there was a block, so they could not do it. Now, you read this passage of Scripture, and as you read this passage of Scripture, so often as we read it, we notice that there's a lot of dilemma, but there's this little hope. I want you to back up now in verse 15. I won't give you the official doctrinal name, but what this is the first mention of the coming of the Messiah in Scripture. God is talking to Eve. and says, I will put enmity between you, or I mean, sorry, talking to Satan. I will put enmity, there's a battle now raging, between you, Satan, and the woman, between your seed, those who come after you, and her seed, those that she has. And he will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Most theologians believe that it's a reference to the fact that Satan will have his day. And that the day that he'll have, he'll bruise the seed of the woman, the Christ child, on the cross. And that Christ will have his day and bruise the head of Satan, who will be destroyed at the crucifixion and resurrection. Most feel that way. Whether you want to read that into that or not doesn't really make any difference. But I do want to point out this. In every situation of gloom, and in the most worst of all situations of all gloom of all time, the fall of humanity, guess who has a plan? Now, what are you going to read into that? You want to accept the traditional position or not? I don't really care. All I know is this. Even in the midst of the curse and the calamity that befell all mankind at this event in history, when man fell into sin, God had a plan to take care of the sin, even at that point in time, which is very difficult for us, because when we fall into problems, guess who doesn't have an answer? But guess what God does? In every calamity, he has the answer. And the answer that he had was Jesus Christ coming into this world and taking care of the problem. Now, not everyone buys that. My young friend at work, he buys a Muhammad. Muhammad's the answer. The Quran has the answers. Okay, he doesn't understand. He doesn't see it. He's blinded at this point in time. He's blind because his eyes have not yet been opened to the gospel. And I know this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I do not have the capacity to open his eyes. But there is one who has the capacity to open your eyes. Would you feel like that first day your eyes are open to the truth of the gospel? What did that do to you? How many actually sounded like a Pentecostal when that happened? Anybody say amen? Or say glory? Or go, wow, this is amazing. This is actually true. Because only God can open our eyes. And we read the stories about Christmas, and we read all this stuff, and it says over and over again in the scripture that this is the whole aspect of prophecy, that the Son of God is coming into the world. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 7. We'll read just a little bit of Isaiah 7. Again, a passage that's quite familiar during the holiday season. Chapter 7, verse 14. Verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you what? What's a sign? You know what a sign is? How many have ever seen a sign that you ignored? Anybody ignore a sign on the way to church this morning? Barry did. He's the only honest person in the entire church. Thank you, Barry. Yeah, he was at church. That's good. Sign. So if I said, this is a sign, what am I saying to you? This is what? What is that, a sign? You think of it in a biblical context. What is a sign? An indicator. All right? A precursor to an event. Right? Is, look at this, because this means something. Right? It's a sign. So look what he says here. He says, I'm going to give you a sign. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Okay? I don't think we have the capacity to try to explain that. Just don't think we have the capacity to explain that. It's like when kids are born and they're 2 years old and you're trying to explain to them something beyond their capacity. You know, what do you say? How do you verbalize that? So he says, behold, a virgin will conceive, will bear a child. Bear this son, and they'll call his name what? which is a compound word in Hebrew. God with us. We just sang that song, didn't we? God with us. So in other words, when the shepherds came, when the wise men came, and they found Christ in this house, and they go in there, and here he is, and they begin to worship him. Why would they worship him? Because it's God with them. They recognize Jesus to be God. Not everybody recognizes Jesus as God. I'll say this, even those who sometimes verbalize that Jesus is God aren't really recognizing Jesus as God. How do you know? Imagine, for just one second, that God would physically, in all his glory, come through this roof. What would you do? What would you do? Who would take out your cell phones and get a shot of that? Because that's what Americans do now, right? When anything, something happens, they get their cell phones, take pictures of it, or a movie. Isn't that what they do? Okay. Don't you think it's possible that if Christ came through this ceiling right now, that we would fall to our knees if we saw him in all his glory? Watch. There are people, when he comes again in all his glory, will still not fall to their knees, even though they recognize him to be powerful and maybe even recognize him to be God. They have not recognized him to be their God. God with us. I love the nativity scenes. I love Christmas time because there seems to be more opportunity to demonstrate the reality of this event. But so few people in reality in this world accept the reality that the child that was born in Bethlehem is actually God with us. When they quote this verse in Matthew, he says the exact same thing that Isaiah says, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and it shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He is the Christ child. And you read through Scripture. I'm not going to read a lot of verses of Scripture. I want you to turn to one more passage in relationship, and that's in the Gospel of John. And I know there's a lot of verses we can look at in this, but I'm going to limit myself a little bit in time. So we come to this church. We accept the premise that Jesus is the Son of God. We accept that premise, do we not? We say, yes, he is God. He is God the Son. Without a doubt, we accept that premise as this church. Not everyone who walks through these doors accepts that premise, but the church itself stands on that premise that Jesus is the Son of God. And we recognize in the world we live in, not everybody agrees with us. There's a lot of people out there, even within what they classify as the Christian community, that doesn't believe that. Or so water it down so that they can say, I believe this, but I believe everything else too. But we hold to that Jesus is the Son of God. We all hold that position. And we say, these are the verses of Scripture. But I'm taking it, weren't just one verse of Scripture that maybe will kind of explain some of this aspect. And that's John's Gospel, chapter 1. All right, we're going to just do three verses here very, very quickly. I'm going to read the three verses first. We'll go back and camp a little bit. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Everybody see that? All right, let's do it one more time, because I want to get it cemented in your brain. Read it with me this time. I'm reading from New King James. If you don't have any King James, shame on you, but we'll read this together. In the beginning was the Word. You're reading with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. See that verse of Scripture? All right, get that planted in your brain? All right? I'm going to put you to sleep. Okay? Ready for that? We'll talk about grammar just for a moment. All right, I know that's hard, but try to follow me. Does anybody know what a verb is?
Action word.
An action word or a state of being, correct? Action word. If you look at verse 1, does anybody see any verb in verse 1? It's an action or state of being. So anybody see a verb in verse 1? Oh, in Spanish, what's it say?
The verb was there.
Oh, was there, yeah. Is the verb. What's the word itself in Spanish?
Verbo.
A verbo? Okay. It's good. That has no bearing to what we're talking about, but that was really interesting. Actually, I'm going to tell you the truth, it's actually more accurate than the English is, and I'll show you why in just a minute. All right. See the word was? How many was's are there in verse 1? All right, 3 verbs in verse 1. They're all was. Okay? And what if I said to you, somebody was here? Yes, I don't even say it. If somebody was here, what would that tell you? What information does it give you if I said this person was here? What would that tell you? They're no longer here. It was in the past, correct? Everybody got that? Wrong. The word was here, in this sense, is more accurately translated in the Spanish because it's more wasing, which is not a good word. It's not a good English word, okay? Because the tense of the verb is an imperfect, and the idea behind it is it is was, but it continues to be. Now think of it that way. In the beginning, what's the phrase? Was God. Now put it in the right sense. In the beginning was and continues to be God. Read it that way. So is God still here? Was he here in the beginning? Is he still here? So no matter when you go, he's still here. Got that? So in the beginning was the is it the word, correct? And then the next phrase says, the word was with God. Now put was the correct way. And the word was and continues to be with God. Now read the last phrase. What's it say? And this is the one that every controversy in history settles on, this phrase. The word was God, or the word was and continues to be God. Everybody with me? People have debated this. If you have a Jehovah's Witness Bible in your possession, shame on you, but if you happen to have one, they translate this a little differently. How does yours translate the last phrase? Does it say it the same way? Okay, so it's the same translation, okay? So, is this saying that the Word and God are the same person? Interesting. Actually, it isn't. You say, what? You mean the Jehovah's are right and say this was a God? Because the Jehovah's Witnesses say the Word was a God. Is this Jesus was a God along with a bunch of other gods? No, not at all. Now, I'm going to really, really make it complicated for you. Ready for this? Anybody know what a predicate nominative is? See, well, what does that have to do with it? These are two nouns to say they're not the same, but they share all the same attributes of one another. One's a subset of the other. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is he the same as the Father? No. But does he share all the same attributes of the Father? Because we believe God, the Trinity, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so people will argue against Jehovah's Witness by saying he meant to say that the Word was the God, and it isn't. It is the Word and God are the same in essence, entirely. In what way are they the same? If you went into the inn in the barn and you saw the child laying in the manger along with the shepherds, and you looked at him, what qualities does this baby have? Humanly speaking, what qualities does he have? I've heard people say, Jesus never cried as a baby. I doubt that very seriously. Jesus never got cold. He was never hungry. Not true, because he was all man, which we're going to talk about the fourth week of the month. But what are the qualities that this little child have? What qualities did the shepherds and what qualities did the wise men find when they saw the child? They saw the qualities in this child, which were the exact same qualities as in God the Father. Now I'm going to show you just a couple of them that this passage talks about. Let's read it again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning. So who was in the beginning? It says he. Remember pronouns? A pronoun is a word that takes place of a noun. And you're looking for a word that's the antecedent of the pronoun. This is really great, isn't it? Which means it took the place of. So put the word that takes the he takes the place of. It's the Word. The Word was in the beginning with God. Okay. When was the beginning? Don't be a Carl Sagan thing for me. Millions and millions of years. When was the beginning? In the beginning, right? Who was there in the beginning? God. And this verse 2 says, the Word was, because we have God the Father and God the Son, the Word was with God in the beginning. So if he was with God in the beginning, when was his beginning? Was it in Bethlehem? No. And so when you come to the cradle and you come to the home and you recognize this child, he has the attributes, the same exact attributes as God the Father, which was, he is what? If he's in the beginning. He's eternal. So what is God? He is here for ever and ever and ever. If you go back here and say, well, Jesus here, let's say the beginning was 10,000 years ago. Was Jesus here 10,000 years ago? Okay, if you go back 50,000, was Jesus here 50,000 years ago? If you go back 100,000 years ago, millions and millions and millions of years ago. So what did the shepherds and what did the wise men find when they came to find Christ? They found the same exact attributes as in God the Father. He is eternal. So when a person says to you, I believe in Jesus, the first question you ask him from the book of John is, do you believe Jesus was eternal? Or they say, I believe Jesus started in the cradle. He didn't start in the cradle. He became flesh in the cradle. But Jesus is eternal. He has exact same attributes as God the Father. Exact. Next phrase, verse 3. What's it say? All things. Still talking about he. Okay, if you go back to Genesis, I won't have you do it, but go back to Genesis chapter 1. Does anybody know what Genesis chapter 1, how it starts? In the beginning, who? God. Now, why read this verse? What's this say? In the beginning, who? He. Who's he? The Word. Remember the antecedent thing? He is referring to the Word. So in Genesis chapter 1, it tells me that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? No, a little more enthusiastic. Absolutely. It didn't come by random chance because God in the beginning created this. This verse tells me that not only did God create the verse, this also tells me that he, the Word, was in the beginning, doing what? Creating the world. Who created the world? So when you come to the inn, or you come to the barn, or you come to the manger, or you come to Jesus Christ, and you come like the shepherds did, or like the wise men, and you see him, what do you see in him? He is the God who is eternal. He is the God who is the creator. And if he's eternal, and he has all the same attributes as the Father, all of them. And I'll close with this, John 14. You know this passage probably. You probably have heard it more than once. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. You say you believe in God, believe also in me. What did Jesus do there? Do you see how he connected? God and himself. Why would he connect God and himself? Because they're the same. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas says, how can we know the way? Jesus answers, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Go to verse 8. Look at the question Philip asked. What's he say? Wait a minute, he says, I want to see God. You know what he says? I want to see the Father. So if they come to the manger, or they come to the house, and they look at this child in this manger here in this home, or wherever he is at the point in time they see him, what they see here is he is the same as God. So if I've seen him, that means I've seen God. If I've seen him, the Son, I've also seen the Father. Why is it that if I see him, the Son, I've also seen the Father? Why is that? They are identical. If I've seen one, I've seen both. Then Philip says, show us the Father. And look how Jesus answers that question. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? See that phrase? You don't know me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So how can you say that? I believe that this Christmas season, as all Christmas season, gives us as believers an unbelievable opportunity, because the uniqueness of our position in relationship to God and his Son, that we can say at this point in time, it's not just saying Jesus, it's not even just saying Jesus was born in a manger, it's not just saying Jesus was a good man, is saying that that child that we have in those nativity scenes all over the place, that child to whom we sing all these Christmas carols, there was a big debate at work. They sent out a questionnaire. When do you want the Christmas music to start in the dealership? And people were arguing all over. One guy says, I'm sick of Christmas music. I don't want to hear it at all. Someone says, let's play it after Thanksgiving. Another says, make it December the 1st. Said, make it December the 15th. Wait till the 24th when we're off work. I mean, they were fighting and fighting and fighting about Christmas music. Because they don't know. Because as Philip says, how is it I have been here so long and yet you don't know? Because what we run into in the world is a world full of people who just really don't know him. So our job at Christmas is introduce him. Yes, he's a child. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem, became flesh. All of that's true. But you need to know that the Jesus is the Son of God. He has all the same attributes of God. You'll never get to the Father unless you go through the Son. Because he's the way, truth, and the life. What an opportunity we have to introduce the real Jesus. Not the ones they all sing about. Not all the nativity, but the real Jesus who came so they might recognize him as did the shepherds, as did the wise men, and hopefully as we do. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who came into this world to save sinners. We're so grateful for a God who loved us enough to do that. And Lord, we realize that we're here for a reason, and one of those reasons is to introduce Jesus Christ to our world. They'll never know the Father unless they know the Son. And if they've seen the Son, they've seen the Father. So Lord, help us to show them the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is God with us. And help us to verbalize that truth. It's not enough just to say you believe in Jesus. You have to ask, what is it you believe? Salvation is based upon the belief of who Jesus Christ is. We pray you'll bless our activities and our words throughout this holiday season, especially the family and friends as we share the story and the truth of who God is. In Christ's name, amen.